You won or won. That ain't the way God wins souls. Jesus didn't win them like that. He witnessed to them. You might have witnessed to somebody, but that winning a soul on the street corner, that's a big deal nowadays. Or go knocking on somebody's door, and they claim to get saved to get rid of you. Well, that ain't no victory. God damn mercy. You got to have a bigger victory than that. You're going to get God's, you're going to get His approval upon what you do. Listen to this. In Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, Jeremiah 5 and verse 23, or 23 and 24, "For this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart." You can have a rebellious heart and still talk your head off. God didn't call you to talk your head off. People think that's the way to witness. They say, well, the early church went from house to house, knocking on doors. And yeah, but the Bible didn't say that. The Bible said that the early disciples went from house to house, breaking bread and eating their meat in gladness and singleness of heart. That was Christians going around having lunch or a brunch or something or another with another Christian. That wasn't talking about going knocking on doors and eating with a bunch of reprobates and sinners. It was the early church strengthening themselves and with their fellowship of breaking bread from house to house. And the Bible said, in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And like Peter in Acts the 10th chapter, when he went to somebody's house where there was any thought or any premonition that he would have hostility, he took six brethren with him, and the Holy Ghost and an angel had to get him over there to that house. He didn't just go over there and march in Cornelius' house and say, "Hey, buddy, the Lord sent me here and I want to get you guys saved." The angel went over there and prepared Cornelius. Cornelius got the crowd together, and the Holy Ghost gave Peter a vision on the housetop down in Joppa, many miles away, and said, "There's a fellow needs you over there in Caesarea." He said, "Go down to his house." He still wasn't going by himself. He said something could happen there in a situation like that, and he took six brethren with him. But I tell you, we need a heart that's not rebellious, that God can direct us. When God directs us, then there's going to be a speech. There's going to be a witness. There's going to be something that we're able to relate to someone, whether a Christian or non-Christian, that will edify them, bring them to God, or help them to go on with the Lord, or turn their captivity. And the Bible goes on and says, "Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God." See, a rebellious heart will say this, ladies and gentlemen, "We're not going to fear God." A rebellious heart will resist the fear of God. Will resist the fear of God. See, it says they don't say in their heart, "Let us now fear the Lord that giveth rain, both the form of the latter and his season." And there's a rebellious heart for you. They won't fear God. And the churches today are full of men and women and boys and girls that have rebellious hearts. And those rebellious hearts are at enmity with the Lord. I'll tell you, in Isaiah the 38th chapter, let's take just a look here just a moment. Isaiah 38 and verse 3, Hezekiah said in his prayer to the Lord, said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." Here's a man that had a perfect heart with the Lord. In his 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to make himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect after him." You can have a perfect heart with God, and then when you speak, you'll speak words that work wonders in the lives of the hearers. You'll minister to them and edify them. And you know what Paul the Apostle meant in Ephesians 4:29, said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I'll tell you, you got the fear of God and the love of God residing side by side in your life, resonant there, then you're ready at all times to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. All right, again, Isaiah the 35th chapter. Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. There's another kind of a heart that God disapproves of very heartily. He said, you say to them, folks, this is Christians that have a fearful heart. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a vengeance and recompense. He will come and save you. Tell them this of a fearful heart to wait on the Lord. And he'll come and save them and get themselves strong. Don't have that old fearful heart. Many Christians, they're weakened down constantly by a fearful heart that pulls them right down to the level of unbelief. And unbelief is sin. 1 John 5:17 said all unbelief is sin. All right? Isaiah the 29th chapter. See about another kind of a heart here. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. That's a hard heart. You put it where God can't work on that heart. Your heart becomes insensitive. You won't respond to the Word of God and to the Holy Ghost and to the reproof and correction and instruction of righteousness, God is saying here. You remove your heart far from me, and their fear toward them is taught by the precept of men. Now listen to what's going to happen to those. All the wisdom they ever thought about will dissipate. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Let me tell you something. When people will not, when they resist the word of God, there's no wisdom in them. Jeremiah 6:13, he cries out, said, what wisdom is in them? They rejected the law of God. Instead, they're scribes. They teach the law in vain because they rejected it. There's no wisdom people that reject the Word of God. Any part of it, when you reject the Word of God, God rejects that individual. My Lord, Ecclesiastes 9 and 3 writes about a heart, a madness is in their heart while they live. Madness! That's terrible, isn't it? To have a heart that's almost on the verge of insanity. Madness. All right? Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10, it talks about another kind of heart. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. Remember, God said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now remember that. Said, young man, young woman, said, you let your heart, that old heart that's full of foolishness, cheer you. And you walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God shall bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Sorrow. Sorrow. There's only one kind of sorrow of heart that God honors. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of or to change your mind later about. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of this world works death. People going around there sorry. You know why they're sorry? Their sins have caught up with them. Their sins is about to wreck their home. Their sins has made them lose their job. Their sins has made them lose their health. Their sins is destroying their faith in God or their hope they used to have on God. My Lord, have mercy, and their hearts filled with sorrow. And God said, hey, here's my advice. Remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. That's a step back. And remember your Creator in the days of your youth. God warns about this business of letting your heart become filled with foolishness and harden it and put it out of his reach to where you won't listen at him. You become insensitive. Your heart is not touched any longer by the reproofs of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And he says here, you better remember your Creator while you're young, before the evil days come upon you. And you'll look back on those wasted years with regret and say, oh God, I have no pleasure in what I did when I was a young fellow. Lord, have mercy sakes.
There's not very many old people ever finds God, ladies and gentlemen. There's not very many people that passes 40 years old that get saved. Very, very seldom. If they do, it's usually because they had an old saint for a mother or a dad or a wife or someone like that that prayed hard for them and fasted and laid that petition up there in the face of God that God couldn't forget it. But he saved them for mama's sake or daddy's sake or the wife's sake or a son and daughter making intercession for a father or mother that's foolish.